Sports Radio New York, a network of New York sports talk shows heard on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB. Check out New York Hockey Talk with Rob Cole.
Old-time hockey.
New York Baseball Digest with Mike Silva. Sports Talk Live with Frankie the Sports Guy. New York Baseball Live with Joe Bosch. The Starting Nine with Steve Rogan and Paul Revelin. Sports Talk New York with Mark Rosenman and A.J. Carter. And Sports Talk 1240 with Mike Carver. Listen every Sunday night at 9 p.m. on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB. And be sure to check out all past shows online at sportsradiony.com.
From our family here at WGBB Freeport, New York, to yours, we wish you a happy Hanukkah with menorahs burning brightly, dreidels spinning quickly, and lots of delicious latkes. Happy Hanukkah.
The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Welcome to Sports Radio New York, a network of New York sports talk shows heard on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB. Check out New York Hockey Talk with Rob Cole.
Old-time hockey.
New York Baseball Digest with Mike Silva. Sports Talk Live with Frankie the Sports Guy. New York Baseball Live with Joe Bosch. The Starting Nine with Steve Rogan and Paul Revelin. Sports Talk New York with Mark Rosenman and A.J. Carter. And Sports Talk 1240 with Mike Carver. Listen every Sunday night at 9 p.m. on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB. And be sure to check out all past shows online at sportsradiony.com.
Live from the airwaves of Sports Radio New York at WGBB, it is New York Baseball Live with Joe Bosch.
Pitch back at third, stopped out the third. Garrett has the ball, a throw to first. And the Mets are the National League champions.
High ball to right center field, deep in right center. Dempsey with A.G. A.G. dives, and he makes the catch.
Is just one good stride in from the outfield grass at first. 2-1 pitch. Fly ball, deep left field. Jones is back to the fence. Jones is on the warning track. The World Series is over. Jones makes the catch.
There's a drive to right field.
What's up, folks? Welcome to another great edition of New York Baseball Live. I got my man Adam behind the glass laughing at me already.
What's up, Joe?
What's up, Adam?
That was a real thug intro right there.
Yo,
what's
thug
up?
What's up? How's it going?
Yo. Talking baseball.
Tis the season for the baseball. If you thought the hot stove was hot, I think it's cold.
Yeah.
Tell you the truth.
That was poetic.
It was.
Were you working on that on the way over?
Yeah.
Nice.
When I was stopped in 7-Eleven to get my water, I was working on it.
The ice water inspired you, huh?
Oh, it did. It did.
Nice. The Slurpee.
But we actually have a great show tonight. We have Doug Flynn.
Oh, we have a great show.
A great show.
So you're switching it up.
I'm switching it up.
Oh.
I've had very bad shows, now I have a great show. You're such a comedian. You never miss me, do you?
What? I always miss you.
Yeah, okay. Okay. But we do have Doug Flynn, former New York Met, and...
We will.
Member of the Big Red Machine. And then at 10:35, we'll have Daniel Shapitar from the Baseball Bloggers Alliance.
The Big Red Machine. What's that, a fire truck?
A fire truck. Cincinnati Reds, Pete Rose. Come on.
Oh.
Come on, let's get it together here.
Right. Yes.
Let's get it together.
Not a fire truck. Gee, that's stupid.
Little news. I was quite shocked. The baseball guru, Peter Gammons, leaving ESPN, going to MLB.com.
Really?
Really.
Good for him.
Good for him.
He can do whatever he wants to.
Don't you like the baseball guru?
He's in the Hall of Fame.
There he is. He's very good.
He is.
He's very, very good.
Okay.
So how's it going?
It's going all right with me.
Yeah.
The Peter Gammon thing is kind of a dead-end road right there. I mean, it's kind of interesting, but...
Why do you think it's dead-end?
Hey, who cares?
He's too old?
No, well, you know what? You said it. Not me. No, he's not too old. I just, it's like, I don't know. It's like when the Monday Night Football changed, you know, venue to ESPN, which actually is a bigger deal now in retrospect, but...
I mean, I could bash the Mets, I could talk about the Yankees.
Why not?
You want me to talk about
What's
the Washington
you?
Nationals? I mean...
No. No. Yeah.
We have...
We'll get him. Tell me what you think is interesting, and I'll get Doug Flynn.
Okay. Just let's get Doug Flynn on the phone, and we'll get going. But anyway, yeah, quite interesting. If you think the hot stove was hot, it's not, actually. It's not hot whatsoever. Biggest name out there is Roy Halladay. Many teams are vying for him. He already gave a deadline that he wants to be traded from the Toronto Blue Jays to whoever. I know the Mets, the Yankees, many are looking for him to sign, but we have to see what's going on. Jason Bay snubs the Boston Red Sox. Did you hear about that? Come on, you can come on. Don't be shy.
You took my mic.
Oh, I took your mic. Oh.
The black one is for Adam, and then the blue one and orange one had to swing. That's why.
Oh, so what mic should I have?
The blue one.
I should have the blue one.
And the orange one.
Can we switch quick?
I guess.
Yeah, let's switch. Is that much better? There we go. I think that was set up before I got in here like this, so...
Yeah, well, because... Yeah, you're right.
Well, okay. Yeah. But what do you think of the hot stove?
There's nothing really that exciting going on right now.
It's just like kindling. It's nothing. It's cold. It's called the cold stove.
The Mets made Jason Bay an offer.
They made Jason Bay an offer. He actually snubbed the Red Sox, and he says that there's better offers on the table. So we have to see. I have a good feeling that he may go to the New York Mets.
That would be a big boost for them. Finally, a good outfielder.
You haven't been here many shows that I've done where I bash the Mets.
Yeah, well, it's not very hard to do.
The Mets. Oh my God! What a big headache. Brand new stadium. You think they would do a brand new field, City Field? You think they would do things to make it a great intro for their new field and everything? But nothing, and it's quite shocking. But anyway, we shall see. Hopefully in January, maybe we'll heat up a little bit. I'm putting together a hot stove show for January, so hopefully, you know, maybe we have more good news. But anyway, I know my man Adam's peering at
Anthony Ambrosino. Anthony, are you a radio man?
Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah.
You have to tell me when you want to speak on the radio. Otherwise, it's hard to hear you. You know what I'm saying? But you're a good guy, Anthony. What's up, Joe? Are the Mets going to get Jason Bay?
I don't know. Maybe we should have
one. They are.
Okay.
I hope so.
Okay.
He's a scrappy player.
I know he is.
The Mets need as many scrappy players as humanly possible.
I know.
What do you think about Adrian Gonzalez?
I'll take him.
Take him.
I'll take them all.
Take
Halliday. Everybody. Everybody. I don't care.
The Mets will take anybody they can get.
Damn right.
Sign me up. I'll go play.
Go get him, Joe.
All right.
Be the DH.
Yeah, right. I'm good at sitting around getting splinters and you know what.
Hey, they might need that.
Okay.
All right, well, hey. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Go ahead.
Bring on Doug.
Introduce him.
Hello, Doug Flynn. Welcome to New York Baseball Live. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. How about you guys?
Oh, we're doing good. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be on. You kept me up. I'm normally in bed at 9:30, so this is a real thrill for me as well.
Oh, you're normally in bed at 9:30. I'm sorry about that.
I'm just kidding.
Let's start. Obviously, you're with the New York Mets, but let's start with the Big Red Machine. The years playing with the Big Red Machine. How was that for you, playing for the Reds?
Well, you know, I grew up 80 miles south down here in Kentucky, so I didn't get drafted. I played basketball at Kentucky my freshman year, and then my sophomore year I didn't play any ball at all in college. And some friends woke me up one morning and said, let's go try out for the Cincinnati Reds, and it seemed like a good idea at the time, so that's how it all got started. And, you know, 3 years in the minor leagues and then 2.5 years in the big leagues with maybe one of the best teams ever was certainly a good learning experience for me, but it was also pretty neat because my family was only 80 miles from the ballpark and got to come up and watch me play an awful lot of ball games. So, you know, all the experiences were good. I got spoiled early with winning World Series and playing with some of the greatest players ever. And so, that, you know, no complaints. It was certainly it happened awfully fast, but it was a good 2.5 years.
Playing with the Reds, who was probably the best player you played with on the Reds, in your mind?
Oh, I don't know. Half of them are in the Hall of Fame right now. Let's see: Joe Morgan, Pete Rose, Johnny Bench, Tony Perez, George Foster, Dave Concepcion, Cesar Geronimo. Every one of them. That was just the starters. King Griffey Sr. They were all pretty good players. So to say who was the best, they all had, you know, different roles that they had on that ball club, but we had tremendous leadership in the locker room, and we had role players that knew our position. I think that was one of the strengths of our ball club.
Well, you yourself, you were a pretty good player in your time. Winning a World Series with the 75 and 76 Big Red Machine, what type of experience was that?
It was good, you know. I mean, I was only a 24-year-old kid, and didn't play an awful lot my first year because I was backing up Concepcion and Morgan. When Pete Rose came into third base, then I was being used some defensively to go in and play third towards the end of the game for Pete. And only had 127 at-bats, I think, my first year. Then my second year, I got 100 more at-bats, so 220, in primarily the same role. But, you know, with Morgan and Concepcion having the kind of years they were having, I was very lucky just to be a member of the ball club, and every chance that I got to play was very special. So, you know, I tried to take advantage of that, and being a part of two world championship teams, it's still very good because a lot of folks really remember that ball club.
Yeah, what was it like watching, I mean, Pete Rose, I mean, he was everyone's idol. What was it like playing with him and like watching him from the dugout when he would be up at bat?
It was great. Pete made everybody around him better. You know, he was his enthusiasm for the game was so contagious. The way he came to the ballpark every day ready to play, he concentrated on every pitch at the plate. I mean, he still loves baseball, and that was something that was he took a lot of pride in at the time. You know, here's a guy that didn't throw or run as well as a whole lot of guys that played the game, but he certainly developed himself into one of the best hitters ever. And also made himself an all-star at four different positions, I believe. So, you know, Pete had no fear. He loved to compete. He didn't care who was pitching. And he had time and was so confident in himself that he would take time with a lot of the young players to try to help us become better.
Wow. So from there, then you come over to the New York Mets. I mean, and probably 1980, you win the Gold Glove. What type of experience was that? I mean, not many people could say, wow, I won a Gold Glove, but you have one.
Yeah, you know, it was, hitting was never good. I mean, I struggled even from high school days hitting, and I was fortunate enough that my glove was strong enough that it could carry me or at least keep me around a little bit. And so when I came over, I got to watch, in my opinion, one of the technically best infielders that I had ever seen. That was in Buddy Harrelson. Mm-hmm. And Buddy, to me, if I was trying to teach a young kid how to field, you know, I would have him go watch some Harrelson tapes. And then also Felix Mian was there, who has become one of my best friends over the last 20 years or 30 years. So when I got over, I wasn't exactly, I didn't know what role I was going to be used in. Those guys were still playing, and then one night Felix got hurt when we had a game with the Pirates, so I moved pretty much to second base. Although, I think I led the league in fielding in 78 and 9. I didn't win the Gold Glove, but I was a runner-up. I win it in 1980, and then the next year I remember Joe Torre coming and asking me if I would mind starting the season at shortstop because he had a young kid to play second. And, you know, I told him, I said, Joe, I don't mind. It was an honor and a thrill to play for Joe, and I just wanted to be in the lineup if possible. So even though I won the Gold Glove in 80, I started the next year at shortstop. And unfortunately, that was a strike year and was a mess for a lot of reasons. It turned an awful lot of people off of baseball during 1981.
Hmm. Once 81 came around, I mean, it was a strike season. And then obviously, you know, they settled. They got back to playing. You, as a baseball player, I mean, with the Mets, what is your fondest memory playing with the Mets also? Besides, I mean, you play with the Big Red Machine, you won two World Series, then you come to the New York Mets, to the, you know, the Big Apple. What type of transition was that?
Well, I'm still a country boy. I know you can't tell from my accent. you probably thought I was from Brooklyn or somewhere, but... every bit of my experience in New York was outstanding. The fans were awesome. They're still good to me when I come back. I still go do the Mets fantasy camp.
Mm-hmm.
And I meet a lot of guys who, you know, remember when I played, and a lot of them remember how bad our ball clubs were. And we weren't very good. They were dismantling that ball team at the time. And Joe Torre, I know, wanted to try to make some changes and was unable to do so because he was butting heads with the front office. And we had a lot of young kids that, you know, we got an opportunity to play. We just really didn't play very well for any length of time. And excuse me. But I know with Mazzilli there, and who, you know, was a young kid coming up playing, and myself and John Stearns, along with some of the other guys. Pat Zachary came over with me, Stevie Henderson. There were some great people on that team. I feel bad that we didn't play any better, but I think going a lot of us as young kids in there together without any really veterans to help show the way, we kind of were a little overmatched. Although we loved to play. I mean, we loved coming to the park, and we loved going out on the field, and most of us tried to play hard every night. It's just sometimes it wasn't very good.
Well, I mean, I have fond memories, especially Joel Youngblood, you know, yourself.
Joel's one of my best friends today. I love Joel. He and I, we go so far back, and we still stay in touch, and our wives stay in touch. And Joel is one of my very best friends ever.
Yeah. What about, like, do you still talk to, like, Joe Torre and like Dave Kingman, or, you know, the somebody old, you know, you still keep in touch with any of the other guys?
Yeah, I see some of them. I see Zachary all the time, of course, because we all came up together, and Joel, and see some of the guys at the fantasy camp. I saw Kingman. The last time I saw him was the last day of Shea.
Oh, wow.
And when I came up there and got a chance to talk to him, then I have seen Joe Torre at a couple of golf events. Although Joe doesn't play much golf, but he's been there. So I've had a chance to see him and talk to him. And I text him every now and then. And I told him, I said, Joe, I said, he gave me his number one night at the party. I said, look, I don't want to bug you. He says, don't worry. He says, you can't bug me now. The only time you bugged me is when I had to put you in at second base. But I love Joe. I mean, he was the greatest.
Yeah. I mean, looking at it now, obviously, you know, I'm sure you're at Citi Field. What do you think of the new from Shea Stadium to Citi Field? Obviously, you played at Shea, but now they have Citi Field. What do you think of the new field that they have?
I think it's probably great. I haven't been in it. I only saw it. It was under construction last time I was there, and I haven't had an opportunity to come up. My wife and I have tried. My wife's from New Jersey, so we've been trying to get up to New York or in the area at least once a year. You know, just so we can come say hello to her family and then come by Shea and visit. And And but I haven't seen the new ballpark, but it looks spectacular.
Yeah.
And you know, hopefully they'll get a team up that'll have an injury-free year and start playing a little bit better. Because New York, there's nothing like New York fans. They, you know, they're very loyal. I found out at an early time, if you just play hard and keep your mouth shut, mm-hmm. New York fans won't give you any problem at all.
Yeah.
If you make a mistake, just say, "Hey, I made a mistake," and go out there and bust your butt every day. And certainly, they respect the game and they respect you for playing the game hard.
Yeah. Obviously, you just say, you know, the Mets did not have a good. A good season this year. What would you do to repair their season for next
year?
Well,
they, you know, they had a lot of things that happened that you just you can't count on, and that's stuff like injuries. Those are just I know when they got Pedro Martinez a couple of years ago and Delgado and Beltran. I mean, it looked like a team that you know was not gonna it was a can't miss, but. There's a whole lot of things that go into not just talent. There has to be great continuity in the locker room. There has to be bench players and role players. And I took a lot of pride as a role player with Cincinnati, even though, you know, the role players are the kind of guys that won't get any mention or credit when a team has a winning year or a great year. But if the team loses, and those are the guys that get a whole lot of the blame for a bad season. I know, for instance, like with our Big Red Machine team, you only hear about eight guys on that team. That's the starting eight. They call them the Big Eight, even though we had 25 guys on it. But the rest of us knew what our role was, and we were comfortable in it. And when we came in, we usually got the job done, or, you know, most of the time, because we had two outstanding years. And I think that's one of the keys for any ball club is you need your guys on the field who can are the guys that know they're going to be in the lineup every day, but also those that are not playing that realize, hey, my job is to be ready in case one of the stars get hurt and I can go in without any griping and fulfill that role. And then obviously you have to have some pretty good pitching, and that seems to be the key with any team that's successful. You know, the Phillies have had outstanding pitching over the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you look at the Yankees, too. The Yankees are just – and it makes it tougher on the Mets when the Yankees are doing well. And that's the way it was when I was in New York. We stunk, and we're playing bad, and the Yankees were playing good, so that it was even added pressure on us.
Yeah. So after 81, then the following season you go to Texas, and then you're there for a short period, then Montreal. Obviously, we know now the Expos are defunct and now they're the Florida Marlins. But what was it playing baseball in Canada with the Expos?
It was a good place to visit. It was rough because they were, you know, they had some good players. We had some good teams when we got there, but it's just a tough place to play. They did not have a dome on that stadium as they ended up putting, so you played in some pretty nasty weather. But, boy, played with some great players like Gary Carter. He ended up coming and being a part of the 86 Met team. And Andre Dawson, Tim Raines, Tim Wallach, and Larry Parrish, and, of course, Steve Rogers and Scott Sanders. They're just some great guys on the ball club that have remained good friends. But we struggled a little bit up there putting it all together. I played shorts and second and never really was put into one place to play. And you know, it was a team that was always looking to bring up some of their young kids to fill in some holes. But it was really a hockey country. You'd be at the ball game, there wouldn't be a lot of people at the game, but the ones that were there had transistor radios listening to the hockey scores. And,
yeah.
You know, it just wasn't a real good, comfortable place to play for a lot of folks. But I certainly have no regrets just because of the great friendships that I've made from up there.
Yeah. Then after that, then 85, you finished up with the Tigers. Obviously, we know Detroit as a baseball town.
Yeah. I went home. I ended up having a meeting with the Montreal, and I wasn't playing. And, you know, I'd had 11 years in the big leagues almost, and I was, you could tell, I was 35, almost 36. So it was my time. I was getting older, and I ended up being released, and I was home for 3 days. And Sparky called me and said, "Would you like to come finish the season with us?" And I said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "Are you hurt?" And I went, "No, sir, not at all." So I went up and had a little one-day tryout, and Sparky kept me the last part of 85. Go to spring training in 86, with my agent, and we negotiate a 2-year extension of my contract. And I thought, this is great. That'd give me through 86 and then 87 and 88. Mm. Of course, that's when all the collusion stuff came around. They knocked the rosters down that 1 year from 25 to 24. And I got called in about 2 days later. We were celebrating. We were thinking, this is great. And then 2 days later, I get called in and said, you know, Sparky released me.
Oh, wow.
And it wasn't really Sparky. It was more of the front office was doing it. Sparky, he was a good man, and, you know, he was great to play for. He was great for the game of baseball. So it was just one of those things. But, you know, I feel very blessed to have stayed in the game as long as I did. And it, you know, it's funny talking with you all tonight.
Yeah.
From my Shea Stadium trip,
uh-huh.
I took a whole lot of pictures, and I got them all developed finally. It's only been a year, I guess, the time. But I got them all that will go good on my wall. It'd be me and Buddy Harrelson and Rusty Staub and Kingman and then Keith Hernandez. And then, of course, I had to get one with Seaver since that was the trade back in the days.
Yeah. Actually, I mean, we're based out of Long Island. Buddy Harrelson is big on Long Island with the Long Island Ducks. He's part owner. And we love Buddy out here for what he's done for baseball and for Long Island, bringing a semi-pro minor league team.
Sure.
You know, I mean, they have a little nice little team with the Ducks over there. We just had Gary Carter as a manager, and you know, they bring in some good talent.
Did Rick Cerrone have anything to do with that as well?
We had Rick Cerrone was actually part owner with the Newark Bears, which was part of the same league that the Long Island Ducks were in with the Atlantic League. So yeah, he was involved with that also. So
yeah, I lived on the island my last year and a half that I played ball there.
Okay.
Exit 35, baby.
Oh, all right. That's actually out by me where I live.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's where I was. I lived out there. John Stearns and I actually moved out there. I bought a place in '80 because I had signed a 5-year contract with the Mets, and you know, I was pumped, man. So John and I both got us a place, and he was there a little longer than I was.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
But it was nice. Yeah, I loved it.
Now we go, and now you know, after 85, you decide to hang it up and you know, call it a career. What are you doing now? I mean, you know, after baseball life, what are you doing now?
I've done a bunch.
Yeah.
I started off for 10 years. I was I headed up the state of Kentucky's anti-drug program,
mm-hmm.
and I did that for the state of Kentucky, and then I went back into baseball with the Mets for 2 years as a coach and a manager, and did that in 96 and 97. And then I got a job offer here in Kentucky at a bank.
Hmm.
And I've been there for the last 12 years. They kind of made me an offer I couldn't refuse. So I have been there now for the last 12 years, and I love to fish. I've got a radio show that I do about fishing. And,
oh, cool.
And, yeah, it's everything's good. Married now 27 years to a little girl from Belmar, New Jersey. And we sit here. We got a couple of dogs and getting ready for Christmas season around here for us. So it's everything is nice. I've been very blessed.
Good. I also know that when you speak a lot and you actually have a lot of Christian values that
yeah.
you bring into your where you speak.
Yes.
You've always had that strong faith, even, you know, bringing baseball and life together.
You know, I always had the faith and always had some head knowledge of exactly how I was supposed to act with my Christian faith. Unfortunately, I think there were times when I certainly did not. And then in 1984, we went to a conference, and it was at that conference that I realized that, you know, I needed to get my act together and really found out. And I'm a Baptist, grown up Baptist, so had got my relationship where it should be with the Lord. And so I'm, you know, I get an opportunity now to go and share and talk about my past and mistakes I've made and my faith. And certainly baseball is the platform that opens up an awful lot of doors for me. So I'm fortunate to get to do that and active in my church and with some other organizations, Pro Athletes Outreach, which is a ministry of pros to pros. And so, yeah, my I'm excited because people still want to hear some stories from the old guy.
Obviously, now also, if you could tell an up-and-coming baseball player in high school or, you know, even up, he wants to be professional, what advice would you give someone that wants to be a baseball player today?
Play. Play. Keep playing and keep playing. But I think, because there's a lot of kids, I do some broadcasting, too, for the University of Kentucky baseball team.
Mm-hmm.
And I see some of these kids that don't seem to be having very much fun.
Yeah.
But have an awful lot of ability. And I think you can have fun and still compete and still, you know, do a good job. But you need to keep the game as a game. One of my favorite lines in a movie is from North Dallas 40. I think Nick Nolte goes into the office and he says, you know, when we call it a game, speaking to the front office, you call it a business. And when we call it a business, you call it a game. And I think there's a fine line there. I love seeing guys that are having fun on the field and enjoying it and playing it. I tell you, I love watching players today. Somebody asked me, said, I love watching some of the players today. A lot of them I really wouldn't walk across the street to see. But to me, the ultimate professional player is a guy like Derek Jeter. And I know if you're a Met fan, you're saying, oh, man, I don't want to hear about that guy. But, you know, to me, it looks like he's got that perfect blend of fun, of leadership, of professionalism, and it's a rare quality that you don't see in an awful lot of guys. Pete Rose was one of those guys that you saw on the field. That's exactly the way he was. So if there was kids today and they wanted to know, I'd say learn to play the game the proper way,
mm-hmm.
learn fundamentals. And play. You know, every opportunity that you get to play, do it. If they're around an older player, talk to him. You know, it's amazing. Some of these young kids today, they think because they're making the kind of money that they're making that they don't need to talk to any of the guys that played before them. They really don't respect the guys that didn't make the kind of money that they made. Although, if it wasn't for us and the guys that went before us, these kids wouldn't be making that kind of money.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I know I'm going to give you the last question, then I'm going to let you go because I know you say you go to bed early.
No, you know what I'm really doing tonight? It's a great night. I'm getting in the real Christmas spirit. I'm watching White Christmas, and then right after that, it's Holiday Inn.
Oh.
I am really showing my age, aren't I, Joe?
You are. All right, here's the last question for you, then I'll let you go.
All right, buddy.
Best overall baseball player right now that you see playing the game?
Albert Pujols.
Wow.
Although, I mean, he does it all. But for my money, I'm a Derek Jeter fan because he's an infielder. Yeah, I mean, those are two pretty good ball players right there.
Wow.
So, how about you? Who do you like, Joe? Who do you think's the best?
Best player right now, probably Derek Jeter.
Yeah.
Derek Jeter, I just like the way he plays. I like the way he comes to the field, how he's prepared. You know, he's just, he has it all together. He's Mr. Baseball.
I agree. I can't argue with that one bit. Well, I tell you, I know there's a lot of Met fans that are listening, and the Mets were awfully good to me. Mr. Wilpon came over and treated me awfully good. And there's still some guys I loved coming back the last day of Shea and the folks that treated me so good when I was there and continue to treat me good when I come back to New York. I hope they're listening. I just want them to know how much it is appreciated. And I tell folks today, yeah, I was lucky to start off with the Reds and be a part of that ball club, but I got an opportunity to be an everyday player in New York. And if you're going to be a professional, there's only one place to play, and that's in the Apple.
Yep, that certainly is. And Mr. Flynn, I appreciate you coming on. You're a gentleman, and I appreciate the conversation we had.
Oh, wait, thank you, Joe. I'm sorry. This is Adam, the engineer. Doug, can I just ask you one question?
Sure.
Who do you think is the most overrated player in baseball right now? Who gets a lot of credit, but overrated?
Oh, gosh, I think it's a long list.
What's at the top of that long list?
Wow. I don't know. I've never really given that much thought.
What do you think?
I'd have to think of that, Adam. You caught me off guard there, and I really don't know.
Okay, fair enough.
I don't know.
Fair enough.
And I'm not trying to avoid the question.
I heard that was genuine racking your brain right there. We felt it over the airwaves.
But, hey, that's unusual for my brain wave being racked as kind of an accomplishment itself.
Nice. All right. Thank you, Doug.
All right, Adam.
All right, Doug. I appreciate it, and we'll have you come on again. I appreciate the talk, all right?
I love it, Joe. Thank you, and you guys enjoy the holidays, and I appreciate it very much, and to all the Met fans out there, you know, hopefully it's going to be a good year, and you'll be playing in October. Well, I don't know. It may be playing in November, the way they keep stretching this season out.
Oh, definitely.
Thanksgiving Day, we won't be watching Dallas play. We'll be watching the finals of the World Series.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, buddy. Thanks,
take care. Bye-bye. Yep.
Bye-bye.
And that was Doug Flynn on New York Baseball Live with Joe Brosh. We'll be back in two.
If you're trying to quit smoking, dipping, or chewing tobacco, you don't have to do it alone. Nicotine Anonymous is a 12-step program of recovery that meets regularly in your area. There are no dues or fees. The only requirement for membership is a desire to be free of nicotine. For information and meetings near you, call 877-TRY-NIC-A. That's 877-TRY-NICA. Or visit nicotine-anonymous.org. Let us share our experience, strength, and hope with you.
So you're looking for a great club but don't want to go into Manhattan, or you'd like to find a new restaurant to check out, or you're buying a house here on Long Island and you'd like to find out about a certain area. Wouldn't it be nice if you could find out all the information in just one spot? Well, you can. LongIslandExchange.com. It's all you need to find out all about Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com for hotspots, classifieds, news, and more. LongIslandExchange.com is designed with only the Long Islander in mind. Get the best of Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com. Discover Long Island all over again at Long Island Exchange.
Sports Radio New York, a network of New York sports talk shows heard on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB. Check out New York Hockey Talk with Rob Cole.
Old Time Hockey.
New York Baseball Digest with Mike Silva. Sports Talk Live with Frankie the Sports Guy. New York Baseball Live with Joe Bosch. The Starting Nine with Steve Rogan and Paul Revelin. Sports Talk New York with Mark Rosenman and A.J. Carter. And Sports Talk 1240 with Mike Carver. Listen every Sunday night at 9 p.m. on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB. And be sure to check out all past shows online at sportsradiony.com.
Making simple changes in your everyday travel choices makes a big difference to New York's air quality. Trip chain, use mass transit, rideshare, bike, or walk. Visit cleanairny.org to learn more. Clean Air New York, breathe it in. A public service message brought to you by the New York State Department of Transportation.
You're listening to Sports Radio New York on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB. The station that serves your community. And now, back to New York Baseball Live with Joe Bosch.
And here we are back at New York Baseball Live with Joe Bosch in the studios of WGBB. We just had Doug Flynn on from the Big Red Machine in New York Mets. And now we're going to bring on Daniel Shaptaw from Baseball Bloggers Alliance. Welcome to the show, Daniel.
Evening. Merry Christmas.
How you doing?
Doing fine. How are you?
Good. I appreciate you coming on the show a little last minute, but Baseball Bloggers Alliance, tell me about it. What made you guys get it together?
Well, it was an idea that I had, a little backstory. I had started a group of just Cardinal bloggers. That's what I write about, is the St. Louis Cardinals. And I started a group with there, and we'd done some projects in the last year, and decided to expand that concept into across baseball to bring in bloggers from every team, and so far it's taken off fairly well.
Yeah, I know you you guys, well, you yourself, you founded the Baseball Bloggers Alliance, but you patterned it after the Baseball Writers Association of America?
We tried to. We wanted to try to, because one of the secondary, our first main concept was to spread the coordination throughout the bloggers and to be able to use each other for resources. But the secondary objective was to present some awards that were similar to what the writers were giving, MVP and Cy Young. And so to do that, we wanted to try to put the same kind of methodology together so they'd be fairly comparable. And it's turned out all right.
Yeah, I think actually it's a great concept because as we see now with the media, actually in your mind, don't you think like the baseball media itself is shrinking? And that's in retrospect to newspapers, what's happening, whereas the bloggers are you know, doubling and tripling by the leaps and bounds.
Oh, exactly. I think this is kind of a way to take the concept of the writers into the next century, as you will. Not that there's not a place for the writers, obviously. They're still got the contacts and resources that normal bloggers don't have or just common bloggers don't. But it still gave, we're following the game just as closely and writing about it, and so it's a way for the fans to kind of have an impact or have their voice heard as well.
How many bloggers do you have as members of the Alliance?
At the moment, we're up to 109. We hit 100 a couple of weeks ago and continually are hearing from other bloggers that want to be a part, so we've grown at a fairly steady pace since we really put a big press on about September to start bringing in members. We went from 10 or 11 to about 70 within about a three-week span.
Now, if someone has a baseball blog, they blog about the Yankees, whatever, what type of requirements does your association look for to bring, you know, this way someone could join the your alliance?
Well, right now there really aren't any besides the willingness to be involved with it. Drop an email to baseballbloggersalliance@gmail.com. We've talked about in the future as the group expands to maybe putting on some requirements, but they'll probably be fairly minimal. A length of time you've been blogging and a number of posts per year. That's not terribly restrictive, but at the moment, right now, there's not any. We're just trying to bring in as many people as we can and get people involved and see what we can do.
Yeah. I see your you guys pattern your voting for the different, Cy Young Award or whatever after the Baseball Writers Association. Did they take some like negativity towards that?
We got an email from them asking us to pretty much use some different terminology, as they have, or at least they express the rights to things like MVP and Cy Young and Rookie of the Year, Manager of the Year, four awards that we did. And they asked us to use some different terms in the future, and, that was fine with us. We'll figure out. We haven't decided what they're going to be yet, but we'll probably change them to reflect the same type of award, just a little different name.
Yeah. With the Alliance, you got some positive press. How is the media, taking, the spin on this? Is it been positive, or have you had some negativity also?
Well, what we've had, and granted, we haven't had a whole lot. I've sent out notices to the media, and it hasn't necessarily been picked up. But when it has been, it's been fairly positive. There was a voter in our Florida Marlins blog,
mm-hmm.
when he voted for the Rookie of the Year, did not vote for Chris Coughlin, which got picked up by one of the writers down there, and I don't think it was negative. He disagreed, but I don't think it was a negative. He agreed with he respected the opinion, even if he disagreed with it. But I think that's been the most media coverage we've gotten.
Okay, what your by team, every major league team, do you have a member in the Alliance covering every major league team, or are there still some teams that don't have, a representative member in the Alliance?
there are a couple teams that are not covered at all. Right now, I know Oakland is not covered at all. We were looking to get at least two blogs for each team, and there's a few teams like Arizona and the White Sox, a few others that are just have one. But I think Oakland may be our only team now that's not covered that's actually got a Texas blog.
When you put this together, what made you do it? Like, were you just sitting there one day saying, like, you know, this is a great concept, I like to put it together, or have you been thinking about it for a while? Obviously, with the internet, how it exploded with, you know, blogs and all these, now you have all these sports media networks that are popping up on the internet. Is that where you basically got your idea, or do you have a background in baseball journalism, and is that what maybe got the ball rolling to get this off the ground?
It was just really a brainstorm, I guess, if you will. For my personal blog, and I've been writing for about 2 or 3 years now, I guess, a Cardinals blog. In the preseason, I had contacted bloggers just to, you know, get a feel for their team, asking them questions, and we kind of an exchange type thing. And I think that's kind of what got me started on maybe there's a way to do this on a more regular or more formal basis, to be able to have somebody to contact if the Cardinals make a trade with the Yankees, and I've got a Yankee blogger I can write and say, hey, what's your take on it? You know, who are we getting? That kind of thing, to have some kind of context across baseball.
Oh, wow. As a whole, what teams are probably most represented in the alliance? I know I hope you don't say the Yankees, but
being a big market, they do have they've got about 5 or 6 blogs. Philadelphia's got a strong one. Pittsburgh has 3, which you kind of maybe not expect out of the small market team, but. The team that really surprised me was San Diego. We've got 5 San Diego blogs involved, and they were on board fairly early.
I'm so shocked with the San Diego Padres.
Well, and we've got 4 Washington blogs. So, I mean, it's not necessarily tied to the success of the team. I was surprised that we've only been able to find, one White Sox team. Figured Chicago, there'd be a lot of blogs. There's not seem to be a whole lot of White Sox blogs out there, and the ones I've been able to contact, we were able to snag one, but not any others.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to have any necessarily correlation to market size or even success rate. It's just who's got a passion for the game to be writing about it.
Wow. What the future of the Baseball Bloggers Alliance? What do you see? Where do you see it going? Because actually, I'm a member. I'm a general blog. I'm on the general blogs, and I'm happy to be a member. What do you see the future of it? I mean, do you want to grow bigger? I mean, because I think personally, you could give the Baseball Writers Association a good run for their money.
Well, that's what if we were ever just flat out dreaming, that would be nice. That in 10 years, the writers announce their awards and we announce our awards, and they're given equal weight. I think that may be a little of a stretch, but hopefully, if nothing else, it can get to the level of a Sporting News, where they announce their Player of the Year and people cover it, and it's not necessarily the MVP, but it still gets some notice. And I'd like to think that we could do something like that in the years to come. It'll take some years of just keep working at it, but I'd like to see us be able to do that.
Yeah. Well, no, it's definitely a great concept. When I actually saw the Society for American Baseball Research had a nice little write-up about it, and that's where I actually saw about the Baseball Bloggers Alliance.
Yeah, we've got a couple of the a vice president of the Sabre and one of the publicity chairs of Sabre are considered friends of the BBA. They don't necessarily have blogs themselves, but they're kind of involved with the organization, and they've been really good to us about getting information out on the Sabre site and giving us some ideas of things to do, and so I'm hoping that kind of connection will help us in the future as well.
Okay, from now, let's talk a little baseball. What do you think with the hot stove, what's going to happen? I mean, we haven't seen much going on. What do you see from a as a writer, as a baseball writer, what do you see?
Well, of course, my focus has been on Matt Holliday and trying to figure out what he's going to do and where he's going to go. And I think, you know, he and Bay seem to be the keys to the market right now. Once one of them signs, the other one may sign soon, and that may free up everybody to kind of start filling in the pieces. I'm kind of interested to see what's going to happen. It seems like the markets for those guys are not as big as maybe people thought before the season ended, and so I'm kind of curious to see where they're going to wind up.
Yeah. How do you feel with Mark McGuire becoming hitting coach for the Cardinals?
I think it's going to be an interesting year. McGuire has had, you know, just on the hitting coach side of things, he's had some success in his off-season camps and training, and I believe the Rockies had even tried to convince him to become a hitting coach in the last couple of years, and he turned it down. Mm-hmm. But that said, he's got to come out and talk about the past, if you will. He's got to get this press conference out of the way and clear the air and say yay or nay or whatever he's going to say, and he's got to do that so he doesn't have it hang over the team for the whole year.
Yeah. What do you, Roy Halladay, where, in your mind, where do you think he's going to be going?
Oh, I don't know. You know, I hear a lot of different things about it, but it doesn't sound like anybody's necessarily right on the brink. I still wouldn't be surprised to see Toronto hold on to him for quite some time. It may be even a spring training trade. I know he said he wants to get it done before the season starts, but, you know, if he's given a choice after the season starts to stay with a team that's not doing anything or move to a contender, he may still go ahead and jump at it.
Yeah. What about Jason Bay? I mean, he obviously rejected the Red Sox offer. I know the Mets put an offer on the table. You think it's solid that he might sign? That's a possibility he's going to sign with the Mets?
I'd say it's a fairly strong possibility. Both him and Holliday, the market doesn't seem to be there. Although Bay seems to be drawing more interest than Holliday at the moment. I've heard the Angels were in talking to him. I think, from what I read, that it would seem to suit him better to be an American League team, because by the end of the contract, he may need to DH or at least get out of the outfield.
Mm-hmm.
But he could easily see him signing with the Mets and staying in the National League in a division that he's, you know, fairly comfortable with, I would think.
Yeah. We as you know, I mean, we've seen the Yankees win the World Series, number 27. What the Cardinals next year? I know you're a Cardinals writer, so we'll talk a little Cardinals. What do you think their chances are next year? And is Matt Halliday the piece of to their success, or is he not the piece?
He would help a whole lot. I'm not going to argue that. The problem becomes whether you want to pay for. He's going to give you as much as you're going to pay for. Can they be successful without him? I think they can be. Would you put him as a World Series favorite without him? No, I don't think so. It all depends, though, on Carpenter and Wainwright, I think, more than anything. If they're healthy and giving you the innings that you expect, the Cardinals are going to contend and contend for a postseason and two aces. That gives you a good chance in a short series. But if either one of them gets hurt or is ineffective, then the season's probably over, no matter if you've got Holliday or not.
Yeah. What about Brad Penny? What do you think of Brad Penny?
It's an interesting sign. I think that there's a lot of talk about he's going to work all right with Duncan.
Mm-hmm.
It's a gamble. Apparently, they liked, was reading, they were in on Harden and then decided they liked Penny's medical records better than Harden's. So they must feel that he's going to be at least somewhat a factor or somewhat around. There's a few young pitchers that they've got in the minors that would probably be able to stop Gap if he does get hurt. But, I think he'll be all right. I think he'll be a fairly solid four starter for them, probably one of the better ones in the National League.
Yeah. Who do you see? I don't mean to be like rapid fire, but
it's fine.
It's amazing that I have a Cardinals blogger on and, founder of Baseball Bloggers Lawrence. I think it's a great concept. Who do you see as the Cardinals' probably toughest team next season to play? The pebble that's going to be in their shoe.
In the division.
In the division.
in the division, I would think, you know, probably Milwaukee. I don't think that there's too many teams, you know, you never, until Pittsburgh shows you anything, you don't really worry about them. And Houston seems to be sliding back, and the Reds are still a little ways off, although they've got some good young players. So it's either Milwaukee or the Cubs, and I'm not ever going to give the Cubs any credit. So I think that it's Milwaukee's probably going to be, and then they've got Randy Wolf, and that with the left-handers always have given the Cardinals fits in the last few years, and so to have him on that roster is probably going to make it a little bit more difficult.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I have two more questions for you because I know I have to wrap it up. You want to become a member of the Baseball Bloggers Alliance? How does someone sign up? And, you know, what do they have to do? Requirements, whatever.
Just drop me an email at baseballbloggersalliance@gmail.com, and I'll, you know, get you set up. We've got our own website, baseballbloggersalliance.com, where our member blogs, a lot of them will post, if not their whole post, but a copy of part of their daily post at their own blog, and so it's a good place to catch up on all the teams, at least in part. But I'll get you set up on being able to do that and all the information you need to be a part of the Alliance.
Okay. And your blog is?
C70 at the Bat, Cardinal70.com. That's okay. Where I write on a really fairly regular basis during the season. Of course, the off season's a little different.
Yeah. Okay. Daniel, I appreciate you coming on. I think you have a great concept with the Baseball Bloggers Alliance. Maybe in the future we can have you come on. Maybe we'll do a round table, talk a little hot stove, and I think it would be a unique spin in the baseball world because obviously baseball blogs are, in my mind, as a journalist, something that's up and coming and that's going to be a mainstay, whereas I think we're going to see newspapers actually, well, we're seeing it now, fade out, and there's not going to be many. There'll be baseball rise, but not as many. I think blogging will be the avenue to go.
Well, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it, and good talking to you.
All right, great. Daniel Chalbatar, director of Baseball Bloggers Alliance and founder. Thanks for coming on. Oh, Adam.
What's up, Joe?
It's a crazy, crazy show. It was great.
Crazy.
Yeah, it was fun. We had Doug Flynn on, then we had Daniel Chalbatar from Baseball Bloggers Alliance.
We did.
I don't know. I know we have, like, what, 1 minute left?
We have, like, all this time. No, yeah, about 1 minute.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You have anything you need to get off your mind?
Yeah, the Mets are terrible.
Besides them. You know, I'm not going to come in here all the time and bash the Mets. I'm trying to be positive. So, you make me want to bash the Mets.
Yeah? Like the little James Brown music?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, no, I'm a Mets fan. It's just, I don't know. I don't see any hope. But that was pretty interesting. Baseball Bloggers Alliance is kind of a cool thing.
Yeah, it's an up-and-coming...
Doug Flynn seems like a nice fellow.
Yeah, he's great guy.
Good stuff, Joe.
All right, Adam.
When are you coming back, Joe?
I'll be back on January 13th.
Coast to coast.
No, January 10th.
January 10th.
Somewhere around there. We'll figure it out.
Good.
But until then, you will listen to New York Baseball Live with Joe Roche. See ya.